We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
God, is that you? God, is that you? How many people have had that question before? How many people have ever asked that before? If you haven't, you should have, right? Because God is speaking, church. And we've been into this mini-series trying to learn and discern the voice of God. I think it's so important to discern God's voice. You know, the Bible tells us how some people, they can discern the seasons and how obvious it is to know when fall's coming. But yet they don't understand the seasons that God is portraying and the words that God is speaking. So the church needs to lean in, right? We need to say, God, is that you? And so I've been digging through all sorts of creative ways that our God talks to help you understand when God is speaking to you. And we're going to continue that today. Anyone excited to learn God's voice? You know, I'm calling these the ABCs right now. These are the three things that every single week we've quickly talked about. A, God is speaking. I want to tell you this, God is speaking. You know, there were durations and times in the Bible where we saw God go silent. You know, if you look at from the end of the book of Malachi to Jesus's birth, God went silent. That was a season where God wasn't necessarily speaking. But we're living in a season where we are coming towards the end of season, if anyone understands what I'm talking about. The end of time. It is getting colder and colder and waxing worse and worse. How many think that's not the most encouraging thing to hear? Actually, I think, hey, if it's going to happen, let's go. Right? I want to make sure who's coming with me, right? That's the big thing. Who's going to come with us? Because the reality is heaven is true. And if heaven is true, then hell is as well. If God is real, then so is the devil. And so let's not try and act like we don't want to go there or talk about those things. Let's get there. Let's understand, God, you are speaking, and I want to hear you more clearly. B, God wants you to understand. He doesn't just want to speak. He wants you to understand. So have you ever had somebody, fellas, maybe a friend who happens to be a lady is trying to explain something to you, but you're struggling to understand? That's okay. Ladies, understand there's a different elementary level for men's brains. Okay? We understand things very much in a systematic, rational way. Ladies, you think like a spider web. You can connect this corner to that corner without any even thinking about it. And men are like, wait, are we still talking about the same thing? It just is what it is. It just is what it is. So listen, though. Listen, I want you to understand this, men. God created women. And although we're all very thankful of that, right? That's why man was like, whoa, man, when he saw a woman, and that's where she got her name, right? But what I will say is God was creative enough to create woman the way she was, and God speaks in just as creative a way. Is it interesting to you why so many women have such great prayer lives and hear God's voice so well? I just want to help us understand, if we're going to hear God's voice, we've got to get creative in how we're trying to receive it. Guys, we're not always going to hear it like this. Okay? All right. Some people are like, wait, where's he going with this? God is speaking. God wants you to understand, right? Jesus, he even said, look, I call you friends because I let you know everything the Father told me. I'm letting you know what's going on in this situation. So God wants you to understand. And see, God speaks creatively, very creative. He is a unique God. He made you unique, and he speaks to you uniquely. Did you get that? Are you awake today? Come on, show me that you're awake today. All right, you're awake. So look, God wants you to hear and understand what he's speaking to you. But I think some of the game exists. And when you say, wait a minute, God doesn't play games. Of course he does. Of course he does, just the same way you played games when you were dating. The same way that you tried to woo the one that you love, the same way that you left love notes, the same way that you left a rose on the car windshield, the same way that you played the game, God is trying to woo you. Well, I'm not interested in that kind of relationship with my God. I just want him to say what he has to say so I can get on with my life. That's not what God created life for. He created life as a matrimony between you and he. He wants a love relationship where you lean in to hear his whisper. Where you are, God, I am pursuing you because I know you love me, but I want to know more about you. God wants that kind of relationship with you. Are you following me? So some of the ways God speaks are through his word, his son, right? So his word, the Bible, his son, Jesus, his spirit, the Holy Spirit, his people. Hello, as iron sharpens iron. Some of you don't like that friend who's telling you the right thing, but it's actually God speaking through them. Through prayer, through prophecy, and through dreams. We've covered all of that. How many think that's a lot of stuff we've covered? That's pretty good. And so if you want to catch up on that, go back and catch up on that. Today, we're going to shift. Let's read Acts 2 again together. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. There are men and women dreaming dreams. There are men and women seeing visions. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about visions because God speaks through visions. You know, he's helping us see something. If somebody's ever experienced a vision, and I'm not talking about like the oasis in the desert, so to speak, like in all the cartoons. Oftentimes, God will use visions for people when he's trying to get something very important across, something that needs to change or will change, something that should be a warning or perhaps a fresh understanding or revelation. I remember when I was young, I actually had a vision, and so I was the young man having a vision, and that scripture jumped off the page. I was actually in the South, in South Carolina, at a youth camp, and I remember. First of all, I love youth camps. I believe that when you have young people get away from everything and turn down the noise of society and you turn up this focus on what God's trying to say, all of a sudden, young men start seeing visions. Young women start dreaming dreams. Hello, God starts to do something amazing. And I remember as a young teenager, actually, it was an amazing worship service and an amazing message. And I remember recommitting my life that day and going up to the altar and receiving prayer. And I remember going back to my seat, and this is post-service. Now the band is just playing because worship sets last forever at youth camp. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so I just remember being this young teenager praying, and I got back to this place where I went back to my seat and I was just worshiping God. And I remember like that. I just remember... It was like I was running on clouds. It was the craziest thing ever. I remember running on clouds, and it was just this blue sky, white clouds. It was like a cooler version of Mario Brothers, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. Way cooler, because it was more realistic. But I remember running as hard as I could, and I could see Jesus off at a distance. I could see what clearly was Jesus off at a distance, and his arms were wide open. And I remember running harder and faster, but I wasn't gaining any ground. I wasn't gaining any ground. And in this vision, as I was staring at this, and I was sitting here thinking like, there he is. What is going on? What is going wrong? Why can't I get to him? I started hearing these noises, just these evil grunts and noises behind me. And I looked down and I noticed I had chains on my arms. And as I'm running as hard as I can in place, I'm not moving anywhere, but these chains, I look at these chains and I'm hearing this stuff behind me, and I look back and there are literally demons holding chains, not allowing me to get to Jesus. And it scared the hell out of me, church, literally. And I remember as this teenager trying to figure out what all this meant. I knew Jesus was right there. I knew I was trying everything I could to get to him, but I was being held back. And I remember thinking, oh Lord, no. I'm going to get to you. I don't know what this is all about. I remember going and talking to the youth counselors that night and them helping me understand what it all meant. The youth leader, he said, look, you just recommitted your life tonight. And I said, yeah, I did. He said, I believe God's trying to tell you, you'll never get where you want to go if you continue to allow things to hold on to you. And the thing that was crazy about that dream, that vision, was that I was holding on to the chains. It wasn't just holding on to me. And I remember as a young teenager thinking, I'm letting that go. I'm letting that stuff go. I got plans. I have a vision for my life, and God's clearly warning me, forewarning me of something. Listen, God is still speaking through visions. I can't tell you I've had a bunch of them, but I can tell you the ones that I had, I know were from him. How many understand God's still speaking through visions? In fact, I'm going to ask my wife, Pastor Julie, to come on up here, and she's going to tell one that she had recently, or had back in the past as well. So come on up here. Give her a hand.
So I was in a car accident, a severe car accident, when I was 16. The girl sitting behind me did not have her seatbelt on, and I crushed and fractured two vertebrae right in the center of my back. And it caused me incredible pain and limitations for years, not being able to work, having a hard time sitting in class, having to bring pillows. And I remember I went to youth camp one year, and I went as an adult leader, and the guest speaker was talking, and he was talking about this person in another country that got this amazing miraculous healing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And then I remember hearing God say, I'm going to heal you. And I wasn't even thinking about myself being healed, and the voice was just so still and small that I knew it was God, because like I said, I wasn't thinking of a healing for myself. I just wasn't thinking about it for myself. And so I said, okay, and then just continued on with listening to the message. And I told God that I'm not going to go up for prayer until every person, every girl in that room has been prayed for. And so I'm praying for all the girls, and the end of the night comes, and Chad says, the last call. Like he said, worship can go on forever, so you have to stop it at some point. So he calls and makes the last call, and I'm like, and I hear God again say, I'm going to heal you. So I'm like, okay. And so I walk up to the stage, and I sing in the band too, so it wasn't really that awkward for me to be up there. And he kind of looks at me, and I'm like, hi. And then I walked around him three times.
It was awkward.
But I believe the reason I walked around three times and was so reluctant is because I wasn't there for myself. I was there for the youth, and I didn't want it to look like I'm going up here for prayer because I need whatever. I don't know. I was in my head. And so Chad started praying for me, and as he prays for me, I started to go to my knees, and as the music was playing and I was thanking Jesus, I just remember seeing this dirt road as clear as can be. I remember it was so sunny, and I could see the dirt blowing in the wind, and I knew where I was. I was on the dirt road where Jesus is about to walk by me, and all I kept hearing was Matthew 9:21 saying, if I can only touch his robe, I'll be healed. And I see Jesus' feet walk by, and I see his robe, and I'm reaching as hard and as fast and as far as I can to touch him. And if any of you were there at camp, you'll remember I'm on my knees, and you're just seeing me look crazy, but I was actually reaching for Jesus' feet. So if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. And I was touching his robe. And that vision was as real as it could be. It was attached to the healing that God was doing in my body. And it really was just a still, small voice. It was as casual as somebody standing right next to me. And it was God. And it's not this dramatic, crazy. There was nothing crazy about it. I just knew it was him. And I chose to listen to that voice. And because I did, he followed through with his word and healed me. And I've been pain-free for 16 years with no issues.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And actually, there's so many that were there that day. Thank you. There were so many that were there that day that can remember. I remember many of you know Janine Ashman, and she was there. A lot of us were standing around Julie praying for her, and she literally was reaching, and we're like, what is going on, you know? But the thing is, for those that don't know, and we'll get into her story much, she might actually be on the Symphony of Thanksgiving this year because the story's that incredible. Her back was actually broken in half. She was paralyzed for 24 hours. They had to re-put her back together, and she had to live in a brace for like 8 months. So here's the deal. After she was had this vision, after she was prayed for, she was doing things she couldn't do. She was doing full out back bends, gymnastic style, after it had never been done before, after her car accident. So for anyone that's like, I don't know, yes, no, for sure. It's unbelievable. There's a reason why we believe in prayer in this church, I'll tell you. And so visions, God speaks through them. Number one, God speaks through visions. And so a vision is an inspired appearance, something you see literally with your eyes or in your minds or spirits. So let's look at a vision found in the book of Acts. And I've got to be really, really, really quick through this. I got a lot of content scripture-wise because I want you to read it for yourselves, okay? So read along with me. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw, say saw. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Listen, so are you getting this? Don't mind my picnic baskets. Are you getting this? So, I like to call it the picnic blankets. It's coming down from heaven. Everyone seeing this? It's coming down from heaven. Less exotic and cool looking. I just think the picnic baskets are awesome, okay? Listen, as this thing comes down, it's full of what Jews would consider unclean animals. What does that mean? Not kosher, not cool, not able to eat. The very animals that we're told not to eat in the Torah or in the Pentateuch, which we'll get into that, which is basically the first five books of the Bible, Moses' books, where he's instructing the people what their culture and lifestyle is to look like because of what God said. Yes? So all these animals that Peter knows that he's not supposed to eat are coming down on the picnic blankets. And he's like, "This is weird." And God's like, "Get up, kill and eat." And he's like, no. Happens three times. Get up, kill and eat. And so if you can imagine, there's snakes on this thing. There's certain birds that shouldn't be eaten on this thing. There's four-legged creatures. Bacon wasn't allowed, people. Oh, pig. Little Piggly Wiggly. All these things are on the blanket. And God's saying, "Get up, kill and eat." And he's like, no. I understand what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. And so he has this three times it happens. He's getting this vision that doesn't make any sense. Don't tell me God doesn't play games. Don't tell me God doesn't like to help us see things in a different light, in a unique way. Are you getting this? So visions, they often take place when God is trying to get something important across, and usually takes place when you've slowed down and are seeking. Just as I was seeking God in prayer during worship, and as Peter went to pray in a quiet place when he had his vision. So look at 10:9 again. It says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He fell into a trance and he saw heaven opened. He was giving God specific time. We always want God to catch up with us when we're on the run. "Hey God, if you could just give me that vision when I'm in the grocery store, that'd be awesome. God, if you could just speak to me when I'm doing my own thing, when I'm on my own schedule, that would be amazing." But see, God, he actually wants you to take time to show him his importance. He turns up when we give him time. So again, what did Peter see? A picnic basket? Or blanket, I should say. He saw all of these crazy animals that the Jews knew to be unclean. And so he knew the list of not kosher foods to eat. Again, based on, you know, the Jews would call it the Torah, the five books of the law, right? The law or the instruction. But it's translated into the Greek, into the word Pentateuch, which literally means five, Pentateuch, five books of Moses, right? And so that would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All these books are the books of instruction for the Jews to understand how to live. Because if you understand God was taking, he said, "You will be my people." And he brought them out of Egypt. Remember this? And then when he brought them out of Egypt, he had a whole bunch of people that he was about to give a culture and a way of living to so that they would live as God called them to. So you need to understand what Peter is seeing in this vision is completely contradictory to what he has been taught. This is mind-blowing. How many remember when I talked about hermeneutics and understanding that if anything is going to change originally from the Old Testament, then God himself has to change it. It has to be explained through by either the disciples or through the apostles. We're seeing a change starting to take place here. Okay? And so as we continue to dig through, what was the message Peter received? Kill and eat. Yes, on the surface, it seemed it was just a change of menu. Anyone in here appreciating you have bacon now? Okay, well, it seemed on the surface it was just a change of menu, but look at what he says in 15, 16. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet went back up into heaven. I can't make that disappear in the sky. So you're just going to have to work with me here. Listen, let's hold on to that. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Hold on to that thought, because we're going to get back to it. So, like most ways God communicates, visions are not immediately understood and can have layers of meanings. Sometimes you need additional revelation to unlock the meanings. And as we go through this story, it will unfold that this vision had more to do, again, than just what's on the menu, okay? And so, while Peter was wondering about the meaning back in Acts 10:17, while he was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. I've literally been to this house. I've stood there in what is now called Jaffa, not Joppa. But so listen to this. While they called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, remember, the Holy Spirit still speaks. He still nudges. He has this quiet, still voice, remember? It said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I've sent them. Wait a minute. Anyone ever felt like that? So wait. I've always been told not to go anywhere with strangers. So let me get this straight, God. You're telling me three strangers are on their way to pick me up in an old school Uber and bring me with them somewhere that I don't know, but it's all good because you said so. How many people would really like to see the whole picture of what's about to happen before you start moving in faith? I would love all the instructions. Number one, God speaks through visions. Number two, God speaks in steps. He speaks in steps. Some of you have seen that old school movie, What About Bob? Just baby steps. God speaks through small steps. Okay, and a few weeks ago, I talked to you, let's see what's on the menu today, shall we? A few weeks ago, I talked to you about this idea of the fortune cookie. And yeah, I have this really fancy picnic basket for a fortune cookie. That's how I roll. When you break it open and you get this little fortune, right? And I can just imagine, Peter's like, ooh, go with three strangers too. It's okay, I'm good. What? Peter's like, where's the other half? Who are these three strangers? And where are they bringing me? And what's it for? Anyone ever experienced that? Anyone ever experienced when God started to tell you part of it, but not all of it? And you're like, so, do I eat the cookie or not? I don't understand this. What are you saying? The fact is, God speaks in steps. He speaks in small, bite-sized pieces. Similar to a puzzle, you don't fully know what you have until you keep working on it. Are you getting this, church? I believe, firstly, he speaks in steps and stages and pieces. I believe it's firstly to not overwhelm us. But secondly, to be sure we walk every step out in faith, relying on him. Have you ever told the kid what to do and you gave them enough for them to run ahead to go do it, but you were like, wait, no, I got to tell you a little bit more, and they're already gone? That's how we would be all the time. We would be so eager to get it done, we would miss something. I believe that God is giving it to us in steps to activate faith, to understand little by little, but have to go back and say, what's next? It's the coming back that God wants. It's the relationship that God is seeking, yes? So remember, Peter was still trying to make sense of the vision when he gets this half-eaten fortune cookie. I know, it's messed up. It's like a game show. Who wants to play Let's Guess What God's Thinking? All right, Acts 10. It goes back, right? It says, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? At least he was smart enough to start asking leading questions. Some of us might just say, God said this, so all right, I'm going to get my picnic baskets and I'm going to go ahead and move and I guess everything's going to be fine and it's good. Well, no. I mean, you can ask leading questions. You can try and get some more information. Peter did. So why have you come? I do feel much, much better, church, when I see people in the Bible asking questions too. Why have you come, Peter said. Peter knew God sent them, and he knew that he was going to go with them, but didn't fully understand why, so he was willing to ask more questions. Some of us, we feel like if we ask too many questions, we look as though we're uneducated, but the most educated ask all the questions. So don't allow insecurities to keep you from asking. Are you getting this? It's unbelievable. I can get together with a bunch of, you know, adults and say, hey, we're going to have a question and answer time, and the amount of lack of questions being asked. I can walk into a youth room and ask questions or have a question and answer time, and I can have hundreds of questions. The thing that's most interesting is the majority of questions that the youth are asking are the ones that the adults should be asking. But the youth aren't as insecure to ask the questions because they know that they're not supposed to know everything. Somehow we grow up to this place acting like we should already know, but we're still God's children, and we should be willing to ask, yes? How many times do we find ourselves saying, God, use me? But then we say we need to know it's really him, so we need to know all the details. As if God doesn't give me all the details, it's not him. No. God does things in steps. He does things in pieces. And God speaks in pieces. He speaks between commas, step by step, encouraging us forward. So here's a key to remember, church. If you want the next step, move forward in faith. So I got one. If I want the next one, I have to move forward to get the other one. Are you getting this? Not yet, sir. Not yet, sir. It's too much to say. If you want the next step, move forward in faith. If you want the next part of the instructions, get to moving. The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. All right, hold the phone. We know God speaks through visions. We know God speaks through steps and stages. Also, number three, God speaks through angels. God speaks through angels. Oh, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, if you believe in God, then you believe in the rest of the Bible, right? It's like, I don't believe in that part of the Bible. No, that's not how it works. People that say, I don't believe in that part of the Bible, they actually are admitting they don't believe in any of the Bible. Because you cannot believe in one part of the Bible without accepting the rest is inerrant word of God. Are you understanding that? It's important for you to get this. Because the half-truth is that I can accept part of the Bible and go to heaven. That's not how it works. Jesus made it very clear. I've come to fulfill the Old Testament. Right? Meaning he agreed to all the Old Testament. Right? And he came to give us a new covenant. Meaning he was laying out all of the New Testament. You can't pick and choose scripture. Either you believe it's God's word or you don't. Don't allow culture to lull you into a scary state. A state where you're apart from God. Yes? Come on. Three people clapping about this. The rest of us, I think we like the Bible. So, God speaks through angels. We're talking about angelic visitation. God has spoken through angels since the beginning. Think about it. Since angels warned Lot and his family to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, remember this? Don't turn back, don't look back, just go. And Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. I would say that the word was true. Okay, let's fast forward to the angels, the angelic visitation, the angelic visit where the angels were hanging outside of the empty tomb when the lady showed up that morning to prepare the body. And he said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. We see angelic visitation. We see angels speaking on behalf of God. God speaks through angels. Cool. I'll clap with that one person. Yes. So God has spoken through angels. Look at what it says here in Acts 10. It says this, may I ask why you've sent me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. See, although we may not seem to see it much today, I know it is still happening. God is still speaking through angels. Firstly, how do I know that? Because in Hebrews 13, it says this, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." This is New Testament, church. Angels are still among us. So that's firstly how I know. Secondly, because I've entertained at least two angels in my lifetime. And I will save those fun stories for a series on the supernatural that is currently under the works. We're in the works on that one, okay? So those are the two reasons I know. But listen, what I also know is in this moment, when you have to understand, Peter has just walked into the house of Gentiles. He is now hearing that angels are visiting the Gentiles. They're visiting the Greeks. This is mind-blowing because remember the five books, the Torah, the Pentateuch, all the instructions, that was just for the Jew. Everything in the Old Testament was based on just being for the Jews. They were God's chosen people. And now he's walking into a house where he's hearing about the angelic visitation to a Gentile. This is big stuff. So what I'm saying is, what I also know is that this revelation of the angelic visit started to fill in the missing pieces of Peter's vision. Number four, God speaks through signs. And I'm not going to get through all of the signs today, but I got to get you at least to this finishing point, okay? Listen, angels are visiting the Greeks. The Gentiles are receiving angelic visitations. This is a sign, and Peter knows it. These signs are making clear the missing pieces of the vision. Peter is seeing what God was trying to reveal through the vision. Remember the message of the vision? Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Can I tell you, it's so much more than the little Piggly Wiggly on the picnic blankets. It's so much more than all of the unclean food items that he said to kill and eat. It's so much more than simply what's on the menu. God was speaking in deeper layers, creatively speaking creative. Do not call anything. So this is a light bulb moment for Peter. Look what it says in Acts 10:28. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So what I was sent for, I came without raising the objection." He's understanding that God is now beginning to open the promises to those that are outside the Jewish people. How many are not a Jew here that are excited about that? Because I'm pretty stoked. I'm pretty excited. Look what it says in Acts 10. He said, "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize," this realization, this revelation that came through vision, "how true it is that God does not show any favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." I'm thankful, thankful, thankful that I'm living in the New Testament. And then I'm allowed to eat bacon. And all that which was once considered unclean. But this vision was so much more than the picnic menu. It was about something so much more than what was on the blankets. It was really about the blankets of grace that covers all. It was really about the fact that God was saying, "I'm about to do a new thing. And the new thing is that all of those willing, just climb on and get in. I'm calling clean. And you can't call them unclean. Do not call unclean what I have made clean. What is covered in the blood of Jesus is clean." This is the vision. This is what was happening. It wasn't just about picnic baskets. It wasn't just about a blanket. It was about the blanket of grace. That is worth being excited for. This came from a vision. This was how God was speaking. Oh, and it gets so much deeper than this. Oh, but is there anything more deep than that? Peter was seeing God's beautiful plan to redeem humanity regardless of where they come from, regardless of their color, tongue, or creed. Jesus' blanket of grace can cover you too. It can cover you too. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel. He went on to preach as the keys come back, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. Look at Peter then began to preach to them the good news, the gospel of Christ, what Jesus did not only for the Jew, but for everyone. He began to explain what it meant to go to the cross and what the cross did for us, but how the empty grave has taken the sting of death away. He continued to talk about all the eternal. He continued to explain to them the promises that were now open and available for them. Them includes you, church.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.